Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College Ball Show returns, and we are back for another great season of college football. Week one has arrived, and we all know week one is just kind of an extension from last week. I guess that's week zero. They're trying to have some games on. Really nothing meaningful, but we all know tonight is the night. Thursday night started off tonight. We got some games going on that we'll keep you updated with, no doubt about it. But like I said, the College Ball Show returns. Now, if this is your first time hearing the College Ball Show, we cover college football on a weekly basis, right? Every week, week by week, we break it down. We have recap. Not a whole lot to recap, obviously, on this show, on this current episode, but we recap. We kind of banter back and forth in debate. We also predict the biggest games, right? All the ranked versus ranked marquee games, or even some games that are, you know, under the radar. So on this episode here, we will be previewing and predicting those games like Washington against Auburn, Notre Dame, Michigan, Miami, LSU, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and a host of other like I said, under the radar game. So, like I said, if this is your first time listening, we will be with you on a weekly basis all the way to the national championship game. We do a post championship game as well show. So we'll be here all the way to January on a weekly basis for all you college football fans out there. And, technically speaking, the College Ball Show starts with football all the way to January. Then we get into college basketball. We take that to the national championship game. We have an NBA, basically January and on, we have an NBA segment on that college basketball show. And then we go all the way to the NBA playoffs, the finals, the free agency draft. That's so long away. We're not even done with this summer yet. That's next summer stuff. So we are 100% focused on college football right now on a weekly basis. I got my Phil Steele college football preview nice and crisp, although it's getting folded now. You know, it's getting a little old now because I've had it for, you know, about a month, just breaking down all the stuff. But anyway, really looking forward to this year, man. Overall, college football. I'm going to bring in my co-host in just a second. I'm Chris. He's Marshall, by the way. And, yeah, we're back. And I'm really happy, very happy that college football is here. You can say a lot about college football. You know, you can say, oh, the recruiting is somewhat fixed. You know, there's crooked stuff involved. The players should be paid. There should be a different system, whatever you can talk all about. They need to expand it to 16 teams for the, you know, to decide a champion. There's a lot of things that you can say, right, in debate and go back and forth. But one thing is 100% for certain, something that you can't call in debate because there's just no reason to do it. And that is the fact, and this is a 100, this isn't fake news, this isn't nothing like that, 100% The proof is in the pudding that the college football regular season is hands down, not up for debate, the best. That's right, I said the best regular season in all of sports. Period. Period. I mean, don't get me wrong. March Madness, that's the, you know, that's the greatest way to decide a champion. It's a one and done scenario with all the 68 teams. Pretty soon they'll be up to 90 teams and all that. But as far as meaning in the regular seasons, definitely the best. It's not even close. The best regular season. Like I said, are there too many bowls? Yeah, there's probably about 20 too many bowls. There's about 20 too many. No doubt about it. But as far as meaning, as far as crowd participation, and like I said, every game counts. What that produces is young people under pressure, right? But they go over the top and they achieve things that you don't think they're going to. Even after the next week, you know, the last week of looking maybe, you know, crappy or something like that. You know what I mean? You just never know what you're going to get. So there's my rant. You'll hear it from time to time when we have an amazing week where we have, you know, all these crazy endings and whatnot. But like I said, don't even try to call up and debate me on this one because it'll get you nowhere. Because we all know the college football regular season. And by the way, you can be a one-loss team, maybe even a two-loss team at some point, right? A lot of people say, oh, you have to be undefeated. How many undefeated teams at the end of the year are there? I'm waiting. I'm waiting for a response. I mean, let's be honest. It usually doesn't work out that way you can lose one, but that's what I mean. There's just so much rivalry, and it's just great. So I'm going to pass it over to my guy, Marshall. Marshall, man, what is going on with you, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Got a new start to a school year. I'm at a different place. Not coaching football this year, so I cannot try to compare myself as a middle school football coach to a college football coach. But basketball is coming up, and I got softball this year, so a little different change of pace. But it's kind of nice for me because my school year starts off with, like, just teaching. And I can go watch high school football. I don't have to do film. And I'll be able to watch more football, too. So it's kind of a win-win-win.
You're in a good place for high school football, too, to watch, too. Not to interrupt you. But, you can see some bomb-ass games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right outside of Highland Park where Jerry Jones' kid is. I mean, obviously, I'm in Allen, Texas. I mean, Allen, Texas has a $71 million football stadium. I mean, this thing is probably as nice as any D2 arena in the country, probably rivals some like lower end D1s. I mean, I'm surrounded by some rich talent, which I was never able to see at first because I was always working as a coach. But this year it's like, all right, I got to go check out some high school football around the Dallas-Fort Worth area just to, like you said, watch some D1 kids or check out some stuff. So I'm excited, man. And like I said, I'll be able to watch more college football myself too, which last year it took away a little bit of time, but not the case this year. So, I mean, game on. And one thing that we've always kind of said, and this has progressed because, God, I think you and I are on your number. It's got to be 7 or 8 by now. This has been a long time fun thing we've done. College football, maybe the most enjoyable, full of drama podcast view out of all the sports, just because, like you said, there's always so much on the line. But back when this started as a podcast, it was always kind of like, okay, well, college football, week 1, week 2, do we have much to discuss? Back in the day,
right,
about 7 years ago when we started, most teams were scared as hell to go play someone. But we're content with the, I'm Florida. I don't leave Florida. I don't got to go out of state to play anyone. Or if I'm, you know, Ohio State or Michigan, it's like, well, how much, you know, let's pay some, you know, awful D2 school to come up here and we'll beat them by 50. And, you know, that would kind of boost our little conference or boost our non-conference record, and here we go. With more importance put into making the playoff now or having a more successful ranking, a lot of that's gone away. Now, I still think it is fair for an Auburn or Alabama or whoever to have one, like, kind of, like, tune-up game. Like, you know, Alabama plays like Georgia State or like Alabama Tech or something. So you can have one. But nowadays, Chris, you really don't see many top-tier programs that give themselves like three kind of layup games. Because I think in the back of their mind, they kind of know, hey, if we do this, that's something that the committee is going to hammer us. It's like, just for example, well, and Auburn's obviously
unless you're Baylor
playing Washington. Yeah.
Baylor does that pretty well, don't they? And they got paid for it,
they
too.
They do. Well, Auburn, just say hypothetically, Auburn, even though they play Washington. Let's say Auburn played three Powder Puffs this year, and then they're on the possible committee of making the Final Four this year for college football. It's like, well, they played 300 teams. They beat them all by 40, but they didn't test themselves. So it's something that's become a factor, which is great for college football fans like us because that leads to great first week games. Now, obviously, in real life, Auburn plays Washington in 2 days. That's a sick opening game, two teams in the top 10. Ole Miss plays Texas Tech. Now, neither of those teams are probably going to be a national title contender, but that's still a pretty badass game for week one. You got, you know, SEC versus Big 12. And Michigan-Notre Dame. I mean, so just the fact that we've mentioned games that are worth watching, that are fun, is a whole different mindset than back in the day how you used to be. Well, you know, we kind of did the show together. I would say my friend is, like, let's kind of get a feeling for how teams are and kind of gauge them, even though they're playing people that they were favored to beat, you know, by three or four touchdowns, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And also, the rankings that used to count more, it feels like, were the early rankings, right? So it did actually matter where they placed you, if you think about it. You know, now to an extent it does, but not like it did even in the BCS, because they would apply a bunch of different polls throughout the country, not just the two major ones that people go off of or whatever. But that's another thing, too, that people aren't afraid of it. It doesn't hurt you as much. It really helps you, especially if it's a close game. You take an L, close game, non-conference. Another thing we're starting to see is 9 conference games, Marshall. You know, so that really bumps it up rather than that 8. And
true.
We're also in September now seeing conference games. And that's something for years we never saw. You know, especially when we were kids, it just didn't even happen. But the ACC is starting it out right away with Florida State, Virginia Tech. You know, that's another key thing, too, where you're like, wow, so you could have rivalry games like at Notre Dame, Michigan. They basically play, you know, every year. And, it is a deeper schedule in general, no doubt about it. And by the way, before we get too deep in the preview and it's just kind of talking our way through this week one schedule and you know, updating you with what's going on tonight. There's some games. I'd say the most competitive game probably is, well, here it is, Marshall, on the Big Ten. They got a Big Ten game on that counts for Big Ten right now, Northwestern and Purdue.
Yes, sir.
Two teams that are kind of on the up and up. 17-14 early on, high scoring. 13:37 left in the first quarter. So, like I said, last week does not count. It does count for those teams. They got a game in, but I sure as hell wasn't, you know, really looking at those games. I was actually out of town. But, yeah, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, like I said, we do college football all the way to the national championship game. It's recap. It's banter. It's just straight up yelling at each other. It's predictions. We have some hot takes randomly. We have the veteran crafty pick of the week. We, you know, talk about betting on this one. If you need some advice for betting, we always try to bring that up, especially in the big matchups or maybe in like a little segment that we have that I kind of use for my weekly prediction article. Against the spread, you know, what's the upset? What's the upset of the week? That type of thing. But either way, the College Ball Show is under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast umbrella. So we stream it live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ Rope-A-Dope Radio. So we live stream it here. You can call 646 381-4990. We live stream it. It archives here. It's basically the headquarters. However, we're available on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts. We're available on Spreaker, Stitcher. Player FM is another really great source. And also, Blog Talk is really getting now on Spotify. So we are getting into the streaming live, on, or not live, but streaming on Spotify as well. So you can stream it there. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network that can be found all over the place. They got a great Spreaker app. A lot of like people like to do Spreaker and Player FM. It's available on iHeartRadio. And the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Networks, they actually they do stream on Spotify. So you can listen to it right on Spotify. You can head on over there for thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. Thegruelingtruth.net. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Check out thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article, check out a podcast, and hey, make a bet right there while you're at it. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. So when you look at, you know, the opening rankings and whatnot, there is some talk about it. You know, they definitely don't mean nearly as much as they used to at this point. At this juncture, you can kind of tell sometimes the Associated Press poll for the top 25 and the coaches poll. You know, sometimes they just they're kind of close and similar. Sometimes you look and go, oh, that undefeated team hasn't beaten anybody. Wait till the real rankings come out and they add in strength of schedule, whether it's non-conference or within your conference. So, you know, as we talk about some of these rankings in the AP Top 25, one that stands out is Miami. And not like it stands out like they're the team to beat. I would say from what I've heard, when people breaking down the top 10 as far as the experts, right, the so-called professionals, a lot of people have pointed to Miami as the weak link in the top 10. Now, if you've heard the show before, I do have a little link to Miami. They are my second favorite team. I am a Minnesota Gophers fan. But when I grew up in the 80s, the Gophers made one Independence Bowl game against Tennessee. And that was like a down year. Tennessee was like super pissed that they made that bowl. So I had to have a postseason. Like, okay, now we're beyond the regular season. We're going for the big games. I had to have a second team to root for, so that's my Miami Hurricanes. So we'll talk about, you know, our teams as well. You'll get to know our teams beyond just the national teams that we'll talk about all the time, or, you know, even the smaller schools that are starting to make an imprint, or maybe a head coach that we know is going to move on and doing a great job at a smaller, college and whatnot. But yeah, basically a lot of people talking about the top 10 saying Miami is the weak link. A lot of it has to do with the way they ended last year. Some of that had to do with some injuries they took. Some of it, you know, just getting their ass kicked by Clemson. they face LSU week one Sunday. This Sunday it's going to be the only game of the night, so everybody's going to be tuned in. I like how they do that Sunday and Monday stuff where they have the, you know, really put a high profile on the game, kind of everybody tuning in type thing. So, you know, looking at the top 25, though, Oregon is a team I really want to see what they're going to do this year. Are they going to get over the hump and become that 10-11 game win, you know, team that we know they're involved and they should be? Texas is another one where you're like, okay, they're ranked off recruiting talent. Can they put it together? Can Florida State get back? They're at 19. They go against Virginia Tech. Actually, both those programs, can they? They've had a couple of years where they're not that good, or at least, you know, the bar's set high at those programs, especially, you know, Florida State. So can they make it back? You see Mississippi State popping up already in the top. They're 18. So, you know, can they stay relevant? Can they be solid? USC at 15, starting a true freshman, Marshall. Is that true? A true freshman or a redshirt freshman? I think it's a true freshman that they got under helm. MSU, Michigan State, they had that weird year 2 years ago. Won 10 games last year. They're really, you know, on the go. Auburn, are they what they look like they were in two games last year when they, you know, look phenomenal? Or are they still kind of scattered and not quite the squad that we've seen in years past? Another team that stands out is Wisconsin. This year, Wisconsin is really loaded. No doubt about it. They do have a, you know, an easier side of the bracket, so to speak, and the divisions in the Big Ten. We know that. However, this year they got some tough games on the road. So they do have a little bit tougher schedule than we've seen in years past. But then again, you know, at Penn State, at Michigan, last couple of years have been, you know, pretty light for them. Scheduling-wise, something well-documented on this podcast, right, Marshall? Because, after all, I am a Gopher fan, so I got to make sure that the Badgers are actually getting, you know, a schedule that's going to make it tough. For years, they weren't taking on Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and whatnot. So we'll see how they do there. But, obviously, Ohio State, you know, Ohio State get a new starter at quarterback. Obviously, we've heard some stuff about Urban Meyer. What is it, three-game suspension? How will that work? So there is some things. Bama coming out number one. Clemson returns their whole gosh darn line. All four members of, all four could have went pro last year. Actually, I think there was a sophomore, so maybe he couldn't. But Clemson brings back two guys that would have been top 15 in the freaking draft, which is really irking me as a Miami fan when we couldn't bring our two defensive tackles back. However, you got Alabama, Clemson lurking, Georgia's there. Obviously, Washington, a lot of people are high on Washington, Marshall. You know, what have you kind of heard? You know, we always read preview stuff. We look at picks. Who's your top four? What are the teams that look like they're going to get back into the realm of importance, that type of thing? Well, what's your kind of outlook at, you know, as we're just kind of talking about this, and maybe there's a topic that's come up on a show that you want to bring up. What are your thoughts so far? Do you see something where you're looking and go, I really want to see this squad. I really want to see him turn the corner, that type of thing. Where are you at here?
Out of all like the different podcasts or media or news I've heard, I don't know quite why everyone loves Mississippi State, unless there's like some like freakish amount of talent they have there, or a draft class, or a star quarterback, running back. I'm not quite sure why everyone
Fitzgerald.
I've heard loves them.
Fitzgerald did
True.
Come on last year to us, but yeah, I hear you. That's a good one.
They're talented, and they've been a respectable team that's in the past 10 years has gone from a kind of a laughing stock of SEC to now being pretty talented. But, I mean, they're starting the year off like 18th, and they just everyone seems to be high on them. So maybe that's something I haven't caught on to, or maybe they're going to kind of really get a new trend going. But, you know, Dan Mullen, kind of their former coach who's, you know, now at Florida, I mean, he's gone. I kind of want to see it happen. Like, okay, you're supposed to be legit now, and you haven't really ever been, you know, a phenomenal team. So what do you have to offer this year? I do think it's interesting with Oklahoma and Landry Jones. I mean, the kid was like, I believe, 7th or like 11th overall draft pick in Major League Baseball, and he's going to play under college football. It's kind of interesting. So, I mean, clearly the kid's incredibly talented.
That's Murray. That's Murray, not Landry Jones.
Murray. Yeah, my bad. And, you know, that's part of me is like, dude, I don't know if I would have blamed him for going straight baseball. But I mean, that he's kind of like a Joe Mauer name that people know in Minnesota, could have gotten to play college football instead played baseball. But they'll be fun to watch. A lot of people say that Oklahoma's got, you know, one of the best offenses coming back in despite losing Baker just because of their coach and the talent they have. So how talented will Oklahoma be again? Obviously, you mentioned Clemson. They brought back the whole damn team on, like, the defense. That's just sick. That's not even fair. Well, I mean, you can almost slot them into the Final Four.
Slot them in. Just give them a spot. They got it. Miami's not going to beat them in the goddamn ACC championship game. They already got it.
It's sick how much time. I mean, they got more talent than Bama this year. It's just weird to say that. And then Bama, I think they're kind of a fun, intriguing story because, you know, basically they kind of put Jalen Hurts in timeout and never really said anything to anyone. But it's like kind of like, oh, you know what? You know, we love you, and we're not going to let you leave us, but you're no longer our guy. So will the switch to a more athletic, pass-happy quarterback, which is kind of the difference of saving, that was more of a Lane Kiffin trait. I got to get my quote in. You know, will that
early
help Bama plays?
Early. He got it in early, folks. This freaking guy got it in early. And if you don't, explain that really quick for people that are just tuning in to this first one. The Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
We're
going to
talk about it,
unfortunately,
a lot.
My favorite coach in college football is Lane Kiffin. So I normally find ways to sneak him in pretty smoothly into my show at least three times a show. Sometimes it's pretty pathetic and I'm pulling the strings, and Chris will call me out for it. But normally I use him in a conversation pretty well, like I just did there. So yes, will the new quarterback style, you know, be beneficial for Bama? You know, one point I heard lately was, okay, he was a freak talent that came to win in the game, but no one had scouted him. Georgia did not expect him to play. They had no clue in the world that he was going to come out in the second half and bring them back for a win. So, in a way, they're kind of like, oh, my God, who's this kid?
That was a ballsy move, man.
Oh, incredibly ballsy. Saban having the guts to pull that off is just insane. No one expected that to happen at all. But, you know, what will Bama's story be this year? Now, I'm not saying they're going to lose, like, three games or anything crazy, but they got a new quarterback. Like, will, you know, their offense kind of switch it up? And lastly, will anyone from the Pac-12 – actually make the Final Four, because that's kind of starting to become a trend where unless USC really puts all their talent together, which they can't seem to do, because that's a team I root for, or Washington, basically, if a lot of people are saying if they lose to Auburn, Chris, then their Final Four chances are dead. And besides USC and Washington, no one else in the Pac-12 really even has a chance. Because you got a program in Oregon.
Well, you do got Edwards. You got Herm Edwards in the Pac-12 now. I'm really excited to see how that works, dude.
Oh, God,
him coming. We talked about that at the end of the year. Him coming into mom's and dad's living room, dude. Moms are going to love him, and so are dads, because we know he's a disciplinary, too, you know?
Yeah. So will anyone represent him? I mean, it's probably a 50-50 chance Washington loses to Auburn. And then you're like, oh, crap. So that's kind of a fun storyline, because they're the only kind of the main five conferences that people keep lately have been saying, besides Washington, are they that good? You know, so I'll be kind of maybe USC or Stanford kind of have a year like they've had in a little bit prior to glory days. So it's kind of tough to fathom. And I know this is kind of a clickbait media type thing but if Washington loses in 2 days, the Pac-12 Final Four chances are dead. I mean, maybe that is a true statement. It's not all nuts, but there's kind of logic numbers to back it up. And to wrap up my little opening here, is the reason people say it's true is because so much the conference has kind of taken a step back. Now, in 3 years, I think it'll be pretty high up again with these teams being rebuilt. But if a top-end team loses a game, it's really hard to climb back up the standings, because the caliber of teams you get to play aren't going to help you bump back up, you know. You mentioned to start the show that you can afford to lose a game early in the year. It won't cost you completely. But if you lose a game, Chris, and you can't find a team to play to help you move back up with a quality win, then you kind of have an issue. And that's still kind of where the Pac-12 is currently at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And some of this stuff is strength of schedule, toughest schedule type thing, where you look at just looking at Phil Steele's 2018 toughest schedule list, and you look and you see like Miami, Florida at number 57 even Wisconsin with their two hard games, the rest of it, they're number 65th right now. This is just on paper, obviously, but that can make a difference. Alabama's not in the top 50 right now. You can really look at some of these teams and you go, man, they may have only have to like show up for two or three, you know, two huge games, and then there's going to be like a barn burner that they just got to find a way to win ugly. Why other teams,
sure,
where you look,
sure,
at Oklahoma, they actually have a tough strength to schedule. You just mentioned, you know, the game going on Washington, Auburn, both those teams have tough schedules.
Auburn's schedule is brutal, Chris.
Oh, dude.
Auburn's is awful.
What did they do the last couple of years, dude, especially last year, especially, and this year too? What did they do? I mean, are they still pissed about Cam or something? Like, Cam Newton's gone, dude. Like, what are you – like, what are you guys so mad at him for? It's like the Gophers starting the Big Ten season for basketball. Like, what did we do? That happened in the 90s. Let us go. Like, it's crazy,
honestly,
dude.
Like, my one kind of, like, minor lock of the year on our first show is Auburn's not making the national – they're not making the Final Four.
If they do, they're winning the championship. Hands down.
God, if they do, hats off. Oh, yeah. I mean, this has been a team, Chris, that I would say for the past 10 years has been probably top 10 every year. This is a pretty damn good program. Not perfect, like, but pretty damn good. Their schedule this year, it ain't even fair. You got Bama. You go to Georgia. You open Washington. I think they go to Mississippi State. It's like, dude, who did this to
LSU.
You know, who did?
At Georgia, at Alabama, at Georgia. Luckily, they got basically a home game, you know, in Atlanta. But still,
sure,
it's Washington. So,
yeah,
that's great, dude.
Good luck. So Georgia, if you make the Final Four, that's because you sure as hell earned it this year. Oh my lord,
I'll say that now. They get through that schedule and get to they're gonna win it all. They'll win it all. They'd have to take some serious injuries, and they got a QB who should finally. That's been their problem, Marshall. Ever since that last name, Marshall, that dude Marshall. Ever since then, they just haven't been able to. It's not as bad as LSU, but LSU's another one where they're like, hey, we just need a quarterback. We need to do something. They got that Ohio State transfer now, Barrow, but. As we kind of, speaking of, since we're in this realm, we all know the West and the SEC has been better than the East, right? Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, these teams have been faded. You know, Georgia's the only one that really
–
yep, Georgia's really the only one that that's looked good out of there. For a while now, actually, now that I think about it. But the West is still strong, but how strong is it? The last couple of years, especially last year, we talked about this throughout the season and said, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm just not seeing the depth. I'm not seeing the Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU. You know, I'm not seeing the A&M. I'm not seeing the toughest SEC West as the toughest conference. I think that belongs to the Big Ten. We'll get there, though. Alabama, Auburn. Yep, check. Got that. But which team? Mississippi State, you mentioned. Are they for real this year? A&M, Jimbo Fisher. Can he do something? You know, he's got 16 returning starters from last year. So we know they got talent there. It's just putting it all together as a whole unit. You know, as a whole team, that's been the biggest issue there with A&M. LSU, can they get a quarterback? Can this Joe Barrow from Ohio State transfer, can he do something? Ole Miss, it doesn't seem like they're that good. And Arkansas, man, they're right there on the cusp sometimes. They'll play Alabama tight as hell. We know that every single solitary year, it's like, right? But – they just don't. They don't get over the hump. So we're gonna find out with the SEC what they're made of, right? And especially that West Division, and just going into the Big Ten. And you look at the East in the Big Ten: Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan actually has a quarterback, Shea Patterson. That's one thing that Harbaugh's been missing, right? He hasn't been able to produce that quarterback. On the other side of it, plays out like the Badgers, Iowa, and it's the Badgers, and then a pause, a dramatic pause, and then there's Iowa, but then there's just a mix of Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois. Not too much threat over there. So, you know, pound for pound right now on paper, I'm still believing as of right now, Marshall, that the Big Ten East is better than the SEC West.
Oh, I can't disagree. I don't even think that's debatable. I mean, I'm going to refrain from even talking about Urban State, Ohio, and Meyer, because that would be like a 20-minute rant, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But
you'll say that if they get blown out one time this year, then it'll be a nice little rant.
on a different show, I will give my thoughts on that whole debacle, but I'm in a great mood today, and we're having fun, so I'm not going to kill it right now. But honestly, the offensive and defense coordinator he's hired, I mean, those guys are two of the best in their craft. And they're again, like usual, loaded with talent at Ohio State. Michigan always has a top 10, maybe even top 6 defense in the country. You know, they should be good again. They actually have a good quarterback this year. We hope that maybe Harbaugh can fix into a system. Michigan State is supposed to bounce back. I mean, it's insane. Maybe Penn State takes a step back this year because of losing the guy that was Saquon Barkley for college football running backs last year. So maybe they take a step back. I'm not as high on their quarterback as others with McSorley. But, yeah, I don't even think it's close. That division is incredible. There's too much talent there. It's almost not even fair. And everyone seems to be like, you know, Wisconsin, they could be a Final Four team this year. And you say that because they have a good chance of winning their own side. They're not facing a really tough draw from their cross-conference match. And, you know,
tougher than they normally have the last couple of years. But, yeah, you're right. They don't have to face three out of the four top teams or anything. They got on the road at Michigan, on the road at Penn State.
Yeah, and that's you know, I mean, that's not easy. But the Penn State, they're a step back. So,
we're going to find out about recruiting at Penn State.
Yes.
In development.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you don't really replace a guy that was the second overall NFL draft pick. But, yeah, the main point, though, I think that side, you know, Auburn, I think one thing that's kind of cool that I just kind of realized as we spoke about it was I remember how, like, people used to laugh, like, about 5-6 years ago when we started our podcast, Chris, and it was about how the Big Ten just is, like, they're like, a dirt poor man of SEC for talent. And it was last time. It's like, dude.
3 yards
like
in a cloud of dust.
Sport.
Slow
yeah.
Midwestern kid. 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
People calling on sports talk radio shows. Like, people get, like, laughed at. Or Nation hosts be like, seriously, you're going to come on my Nation radio show and tell me that on ESPN or Fox that you think Big Ten kids are as talented as, like, SEC? Like, you're stupid. And that was, like, a common conversation to have forever. But when they have brought in coaches who are not all great human beings, but brought talent, that conversation literally has gone away. We're now to the point where the Big Ten recruits about as good as SEC. Now, maybe the big game picture of, like, Miami and Bama, who put in constant pros, that's probably never going to change. You're probably always going to have the leading pro teams of being like a Miami or Alabama. But when you look at conferences as a whole, I think that conversation, which people used to, like, you know, get laughed at or strongly defend SEC, is now gone, Chris. There really isn't a strong difference of, well, you know, the Big Ten, they're a joke. Okay? I think the Big Ten is just as good a recruit as SEC, and maybe you could say that the Pac-12 or Big 12 is maybe a step back. So it is kind of weird how that's transformed, because I remember – even you and I had this debate, and we were normally a little more of the Big Ten side because that's where you and I were born and raised. But now that, as you just said it, they got the most powerful per conference in the country. So times have changed, you know, and then it's just a bloodbath. Like,
coaching, baby.
On me.
Think of the influx of coaching in the last since we've done this podcast.
Yes.
Like, that's key, and I'm hoping my guy Fleck can add to that coaching. You know, as far as quality coaching, and you know, we'll see. Minnesota-wise, they got their best recruiting class, basically in the since they started keeping track of, you know, the history of you know, stats,
sure,
and all that. So we'll see. Now he's got to develop, and we already got one in the top 25 for next year, you know, right now anyway. We'll see where it ends up. But moving on to that Pac-12 that we mentioned, and when you look at the North and South, it's a little bit more even. Maybe there's not teams that stand way out, I think, of late, Washington and Stanford. I think you'd have to say that. But on the North, you have Washington, Stanford standing, I think, you know, way out there. Now, Oregon,
yeah,
I really want to see Herbert. I want to see where he's at, and I want to see the new coach. And I'm not sold on him yet, but, man, they do seem like they're starting to get going. Cal is – sometimes they're good. Sometimes they stand up and they're – who knows? You know, Washington State, they have their moments under, you know, the Mike Leach, but they – it's mostly offense. Well, let's be honest. It's mostly offense. Oregon State, we might as well not even talk about them right now. But they may turn it around with the new head coach. But we'll see. We'll see when it comes to that. But on the South, you got USC, Utah, and, you know, Arizona with Tate. Khalil Tate, I really want to see that all together as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Kevin Solomon, you know, you want to all offense and not worry about defense. Well, maybe he's in the right league now. Maybe the SEC wasn't a good league for him. Maybe this is going to fit right there. It's a good – I mean, that's a nice quarterback to start out with. That's for sure. Colorado, we know they've made strides in the last couple of years. Had a mediocre year last year, but the year before, remember, they made that run, got to a big bowl. And then Arizona State, we already spoke of them with Herm Edwards. They're on the up and up, and they got a really tough schedule if you look at it overall. And then UCLA, they brought in Chip Kelly, Mr. Offense, Mr. Production, Mr. – you know, the guy's got a resume, no doubt about it, with Oregon. So that's going to be interesting to that mix as well, Marshall.
You mentioned it. I'm happy you said the guy's name. Mr. Tate, it'll be fun to see if teams solve him out, Chris, or if they keep it to where he's just averaging, you know, 200, 300 rushing yards a game. Obviously, a couple of games last year, he was just untouchable. It's kind of like the Michael Vick effect, which I remember when I was, you know, younger, like, it was so much fun to watch him at Va Tech because you just never knew on a given play. He could just break out for kind of a 50-yard run. And I think that's basically kind of the same version of Khalil Tate now. So will he do the same thing this year? Probably so. I'm sure there's some defensive plans you can do to better approach him. On the other hand, it's still football, Chris, where if you line up five wide receivers, you can't just keep eight guys in the box because he's going to have to make a throw to where, you know, you can't play him stupid. You know, if you blitz the house, okay, just drop it over you. So there's still some sense of, you kind of have to pray he has an off day. So I think that'll be fun. And I think that Oregon and UCLA in probably a couple of years when we do this show will be building their offenses up again, which will be scary. But for now, they're probably still in that kind of, you know, as you said, let the coach kind of get in there and put his foot down and go from there. So I guess thankfully for USC, Oregon and UCLA are probably a couple of years away from maybe being, well, Oregon, you know, being from where they were not long ago. And UCLA is still really – needs to find a true kind of strength. I guess they've been pretty close for a while, but in a couple of years, if they get their patterns going like that, the Pac-12 is going to be more loaded again. This year is still probably not expecting too much, but it is a fun conference to watch when they don't screw you over with the Pac-12 network on ESPN. You miss all the great games, and no one on this damn planet has that channel. Like, you know, but rant aside,
no one east of the Mississippi's got the damn channel. No one east of Arizona has the channel,
west,
basically. Yeah.
Unless you live in, like, Washington or Oregon, no one else gets it. So, that'll be a fun conference to watch. And in 2 to 3 years, that'll be a conference where there will be no more talk of, do they have a chance of making the Final Four? It's going to be like, they're a threat. But yeah, it takes time.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
we just talked about how the Big Ten has transformed now to equivalent now of recruiting and being a power conference. That wasn't the story 6, 7 years ago, but you get the coaches in, you give them a couple of years, you don't fire them quickly, you have poor judgment, and then boom, all of a sudden your conference becomes elite again.
I could definitely see that happening.
You mentioned, I wish I was kind of more of a fan like you. I'm actually probably getting a new car this weekend. My car's about to fall off because my wheels are shot. But anyways, in my backyard actually is the Miami-LSU game. I haven't checked tickets yet. If I can maybe sneak in the door for something cheap, that will be kind of a fun game to go to. Obviously, I don't really have a strong allegiance towards either. I cheer for Miami because you're the co-host, and another good buddy of mine is an LSU fan, so I kind of go both ways. But that should be kind of a fun game. Yeah, I know we're not, but it's a cool matchup, as we mentioned, that it's on Sunday. It should get good ratings. Kind of like, hey, two pretty popular name schools that everyone knows. And to switch back, Chris, just kind of for a topic of coaches that are expected to get fired, I've not heard anyone at all give, like, Orgeron a chance at LSU this year. It seems like the whole nation expects this dude to be done, like, midseason. And last year, they had a pretty good year, but I would say the two names I've heard for hot seats talk are Cliff Kingsbury. He was on the hot seat last year and beat Texas to save himself. He's on there again. And Orgeron, I don't know if you've heard of the same man, but I don't think anyone else who even wants to give the damn guy a chance. I remember last year we talked about his hiring and we're kind of surprised, but I mean, the dude had a good year, and the season hadn't started yet, and people are like, you know what, LSU, we need to find a bring back a Les Miles type. That dude, any other names you've heard of coaches that are like, you know, maybe already going to need a miracle year to keep their job, or besides the two I just listed?
Well, I mean, not I really wasn't thinking about that, Tom. Let me see here. Maybe let me get back to you. Well,
sure,
I'll tell you. Notre Dame. I mean, that Notre Dame Kelly. He's on the hot seat.
Oh.
I'd say he's on the hot seat. I definitely say he's
absolutely
on the hot seat. But let's jump back in there. Let's keep this conference theme going so we can bank it out here.
Oh, okay, sure.
And while you, I mean, you mentioned Miami, so let's go to the ACC. Obviously, the Coastal Division, which was such a tough, not a tough division with depth, but a toss-up division. Every year it came down to the last game, whatnot. Miami finally won the Coastal Division, got over the hump. But as far as the other teams, Duke is always there as a pretty good team. We'll see if they can put it all together and get to 10 wins again. Virginia Tech, we just talked about them not long ago. They've been pretty good. They haven't been very good. They haven't been great in a while. We'll see if they can get over the hump. Georgia Tech's always interesting. Every 3 to 4 years, it seems like they put together a good squad. They kind of do it that way, and obviously with that option, the triple option, and the way they run it, there's not too many people that run it better in the country, hands down. And so I really think North Carolina last, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, man, they were 10 wins, 11 wins. They were getting the ACC. Clemson had a pretty good battle with them a couple years back. But, they were pretty young last year, so they may bounce back. I think Miami with Mark Richt right now with the recruiting, the development, I really think that it'd be a disappointment if Miami's not stuck on 10 wins right now. Like, like 10 wins are just, you got to get them. You got to get 10 wins in the season, every season now. That's just how it goes. Now, maybe if we got an Auburn schedule or something like that, and go 9-3, lose in the bowl game or something like that, or that type of thing. But I'm pretty sure Miami's going to be stuck on at least 10 wins from here on out, under Mark Richt anyway. We'll see, like I said, schedule-wise. They may get Florida State, Clemson in a tough ACC, a non-conference or something like that. That's a little different. This year, they should win 10 games. If they don't, I'll be disappointed. They'd have to have like 10 starters go out, in my opinion. I really think that they should get to 10 wins this year. But on the other side, the Atlantic side of the ACC, Louisville, will they ever get back to being a dominant team or a really, really, really solid team? I just don't know. Boston College, they got Dillian, who's a stud, really great, great running back. You know, A.J. Dillon is what I'm speaking of. You know, can they ride him and win some games they shouldn't? It seems like, well, by the way, Pittsburgh always seems to shock somebody near the end of the season. So I guess, you know, keep a lookout for that. Syracuse did that last year to Clemson, and Pittsburgh did that to Miami. And, of course, you have Florida State and Clemson. Clemson, hands down, the best ACC team in one of the best top four, top five program in the country. I just bottom line, that's a fact. There's no more Clemsoning. That's out the window. That'll never be talked about because they already got over the hump. Sure, they could choke. It'll be brought up. It'll trend on Twitter, but it won't be a staple of what you talk about with Clemson. You know, that's just gone. I think they've, like I said, gotten over the hump. I really want to see the new, you know, Coach Taggart. I really want to see what they got here in Florida State. You know, they've been a little young. Their biggest problem is offensive line, right? I mean, geez, they can't find a guy to protect. You know, Francisco, and there was another quarterback that came on last year too. But honestly, you look at it, it comes down to offensive line talent with them. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. As far as the Big 12, there's no sides. There's 10 teams. And thank God this isn't Big 12 basketball. Otherwise, we just say, okay, Kansas is going to win. We'll move on. I think it's pretty wide open, Marshall. I really do. Can Texas live up to, you know, their recruiting? What do they got? They had those young quarterbacks. They should be better. They got an offensive juggernaut there. It should be better on offense. That's been kind of a, you know, a bad part of them. They just haven't been consistent. We'll see what Tom Herman, who was in the strip club with Smith, by the way, and I heard Herman was the guy who called out, who actually got Urban Meyer in trouble. I heard that he was the one that accidentally leaked some information, and maybe he leaked it, wanted to get ahead of it, because he knew he was in the strip club recently with that one dude. And I don't know if he's got a wife, but I'm wondering if the wife knew about that. Let's stop there, though. Oklahoma, Texas, TCU, West Virginia, bring him back. Will Grier, Oklahoma State, they have some rebuilding to do, no doubt about it. Texas Tech, Iowa State, always tough. We know Kansas State has a system in place. They're good for about 9 or 10 wins every year. Big 12's wide open, Marshall, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would say that best pocket passer in the country is probably Will Grier. I guess I'll go out on a limb and say I think the NFL draft got a ton of NFL talent this year. I'm sure there's could be people that we don't know about yet, and obviously Khalil Tate's a whole different person. But for just throwing the football, West Virginia might have the best quarterback in the country. Now, he's not surrounded with talent that's the equivalent to an Alabama or a Clemson, I guess, which is unfortunate if you're a West Virginia fan, but that dude can play football. I know a couple years ago he got in trouble with Florida. He got busted for steroids after they beat Mizzou by 30, and I wish that game could have been, you know, changed the scoreboard. But since that, I mean, when he played last year, that guy can put on a show. So I think West Virginia will be pretty good because they got a stud at quarterback. We talked about Oklahoma. They should be talented. I think Texas has talent, and the defense was impressive in many games last year, especially against USC and other opponents, but they couldn't score for crap. So have they found – I mean, the quarterbacks are still the same. So they got talent, but are they going to be able to put up points on the board? Maybe. Because those quarterbacks looked like they were literally in growing pains. I remember watching a couple of Texas games last year where the defense was playing like a legit top 15, 20 defense style in the country. But they were just
like
dying
a Charlie
to score
Strong
points
defense. They're playing like a Charlie Strong defense. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and they couldn't get an offense to save their life. And when they did get to the red zone, there'd be a costly pick. They had awful interceptions that cost against Oklahoma State, and then they saved Cliff Kingsbury's job by some awful picks versus Texas. So, you know, maybe step up. K-State, as you mentioned, you know, they're always going to get 7-8 wins. That's how they roll. They're a legit program. But I guess if you were to pick someone to win the conference not named Oklahoma, TCU is never a bad choice. They got Gary Patterson. The dude's been coaching there for, seems like, you know, 30 plus years. It's not quite that high, but I know, I think it's over 15. That dude always gets the job done. Their defense is always good. He always game plans well. They always pull off an upset against someone they're not supposed to. And I'm hoping that they find a way to beat Meyer. I'm pretty sure that game's in Ohio State. Third week of the year, Ohio State plays TCU. Now, I know, I think he's allowed to coach, but he can't be on the sidelines that game. It wouldn't surprise me, Chris, or, you know, trying to check out that point spread where, you know, if he was on the sidelines or not, it doesn't matter. That TCU-Ohio State game is going to be a fun one just because TCU is normally not a team that ever really gets embarrassed. So I guess if you're looking for a sleeper pick, maybe a little bit of a sleeper outside of Oklahoma or Texas, picking TCU to win the Big 12 probably wouldn't be a bad choice.
Yeah, and West Virginia has been knocking at the door of being a very good to getting over the hump to be a great program. They haven't yet, but we'll see. We'll definitely see. Right now, 24-17, not even halftime, 24-17, Northwestern up on Purdue. Purdue does have the ball, so we'll keep you posted there. My Gophers. I actually bet this Wisconsin fan that he said the Gophers are going to lose tonight. I said, hey, I'll take your money, man.
Oh, my Lord.
38-10, third quarter. It's like, dog, you can hate, you know, hate all you want, but
sure.
At least be a little. I mean, I told him after we made the, you know, the handshake, but.
New Mexico has been one of the worst teams in college football for like the past, like,
they just got their ass
bottom 10 ever.
Yeah, and we know about the bottom tiers because we always
do. We preview those every week.
Yeah, we I'm pretty good at the crafty pick. It's decent.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And by the way, the veteran pick, and for those who don't know, the crafty pick of the week is just shit team against shit team. Who's gonna win? And we break it down for you.
Oh,
it's
beautiful.
Fun to hear
stats.
Yeah, it's fun to hear the stats. Now I won't have those stats. I won't have. I'm gonna be kind of winging it because the stats aren't that well. Some of them did play.
Oh, true.
I'm sure. So we'll see how I do
really
there.
You're going in blind.
Yeah. Right.
Because in fairness, I never tell Chris who I'm gonna pick. It's literally on the show.
Yeah.
I look at lines. I try to find lines that are like within like 3 points. You're just letting pick a winner. But I just find two garbage teams. And then we kind of have fun with it, and it's kind of turns into a comedy slash pick. But I believe over the past 3 years, you're probably at a 70% clip. So if we had bet every time we do this dumb fun segment, we probably would have a lot of money. Like, I'm not joking. We're probably at a 70%, 75% clip for picking complete garbage teams we probably never, ever see play games all year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, and I'm going to start to invest in this, I think, because why not? And then it'll be something, when you go to Vegas and stuff, it'll be something fun to be like, hey, well, here's the deal. If you need something to go through, I got the crafty pick here of the week. But the thing is, you got to pick them. So we need each other in this thing. We're a two-man band here.
Because
I'm not just picking them, you know what I mean? You're the one picking them. So it is a nice little combo. And just before we get into breaking down some of these games, and, you know, I've always been a person that's a wait-and-see type of approach when it comes to college football. College basketball has such a long non-conference schedule that you can really get a good look at teams before they start their conference. And we also know some of the young – the teams that are huge – you know, or as far as popular and successful, even when they're young, they kind of maybe will take some losses in the non-conference, straighten it out, get better, and they close strong. Where college football, that's not the case. These rankings are based off what they did last year. I don't care what anybody says. That's exactly what they did last year, recruiting, that type of thing. I mean, what else can you base it off of, really? You know, so it's tough. And when you look at, like, the upset of the week and that type of thing, the first week or two is who's real and who's fake. It can be tough to decipher. And that's something that I just kind of have in the back of my head when I'm thinking about this stuff and said, you know, I always kind of tread lightly early And I really want to see these teams in action, and not just action against, you know, New Mexico State / Reverbush / Tech University. I really want to see them. You know what I mean? So there's a kind of feel out process that I do every year. That's just kind of a little quick hit as far as betting and whatnot. And we're not the type of show that's going to put down our top four right now. Yeah, I think it's worthless. I really do. I mean, we already said who could be there. We already talked about who could be there. Like, you know, if Auburn wins through, guess what? I'm giving them the championship. So that's saying something. I'm already picking a championship in a sense, you know what I mean? Or even with Clemson, we already got them in the top four. So we've given you some clues and whatnot. But as far as just a couple of quick hits, you know, we talk about Bama. In 10 seasons at Alabama, head coach, maybe the best coach in history, Nick Saban, has won 5 national titles in 10 years. And he only has 4 losses at home, Marshall. 4 losses. Now, I know you don't play 20 games or 41 games or 82 games at home like you do in basketball and baseball and all that. But still, and that's including the first year to get the thing off, you know, off and running when he was 7-5 or whatever. So that's pretty crazy, dude. I saw that stat the other day and said, wow, 4 fucking home losses? That's impressive, man. That's really impressive.
If I had to guess, would it – I mean, next year I'll do the research, but I have to guess Johnny Football beat him there once, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It had to be a Johnny Football win. It had to be a Cam Newton win. And I think Ole Miss did it a couple of years ago. So
Auburn did it in their home in the last game. Remember the pick six or the kick six? They did it too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I said Cam. You're right. That wasn't a Cam team, was it? No. So not Cam, but an Auburn game.
I do think Cam did it.
Maybe those are the 4.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I'll double check. So we had the Cam time, Johnny Football, Ole Miss, and the kick six. Oh, man, I hope we nailed that. I'll report that next show. If I don't report on the next show, that means we were wrong.
Right? I like that honesty. So the Heisman favorites, we're coming in with a combination of stuff. I'm going to go over the dark horses, the favorites. Obviously, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin running back. Bryce Love, Stanford running back. Jake Browning. If Washington could get this W early on against Auburn, look for him. Penn State QB Trace McSorley, a guy that my co-host thinks a little bit overrated. He's definitely a favorite at this time, or one of the top ones. You know, a dark horse is a Khalil Tate from Arizona we mentioned. Will Greer, you mentioned as well, from West Virginia. Shea Patterson, potentially people are talking about him because of what Harbaugh's done with other quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa, I forgot how to say his name. We're going to get that down from Alabama. That guy's a dark horse, I'd have to say. I mean, he's got a defense, he's got a running game, and you know he can move a little bit. He can't move as well as Hurts, but he sure is a hell of a passer. So you got to look at that guy as far as a dark horse, at least, I'd say. I mean, as long as he, you know, keeps starting. But let's kind of get into some of these matchups, okay? And let's start with number 12, Notre Dame, against number 14, Michigan. I wanted to start here because both programs stumbled for stretches of the 2017-2018 season. Clearly, production at QB for both these programs the last couple of years has been an issue. We talked about Shea Patterson coming over from Ole Miss. You know, can they take advantage of all these damn skilled players that Harbaugh has recruited? They got the skilled players. We keep hearing about their wide receivers. We know they got running backs. We know they got a nasty defense. Can he take advantage of that? That's what we'll see. We also, you know, quarterback-wise, Brandon Wimbush, who had a pretty good year as a first-year starter. He's a senior starter coming back. That's their guy. Kelly's definitely on the hot seat. I got a question before we break this down. You know, we talked, I think Kelly's on the hot seat for Notre Dame, no doubt about it. And Harbaugh's on the hot seat when it comes, I don't think he's on the hot seat when it comes to actual Michigan and the AD or whatever, but I bet you he's, you know, a lot of people talk about him because, you know, the money he's making, all the, you know, the quotes he has. Well, what do you think? As far as right now, Jim Harbaugh's run at Michigan, let's take a little closer look that it may change your perception. So in his first year, Michigan would have been 11-2 in his first year if it wasn't for that miraculous punt return play at the end of the game. That broke
that
dude's
counts for your parlay.
You know what I mean?
That.
So 11-2. He would have been 11-2 had that punt not been blocked and returned for a touchdown. Poor guy broke his hip because
he got no time left on the clock.
That's what
no
I'm saying.
Left.
Nothing. A walk-off punt return. See, that's why you can't fuck with college football regular season. Did you hear what
Thanks
I just said?
Thanks for bringing
said?
That up, brother. Appreciate
Did
it.
Did you hear what I just said? College, a punt, block, touchdown, walk-off. When the hell do you hear that? I mean, golly.
Uh-huh.
And then in year two, Marshall, he would have gone, or is this year three? He would have gone 11-1, gone to the playoffs if they didn't lose to Ohio State on the final play in overtime. So
wasn't before that, wasn't there a play where there was like a fourth down where there was literally like 2 inches
yeah.
of chain that separated
it?
Yeah, that would have won them the game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So is he overrated? Is he worth the money? All that stuff that you hear on ESPN, this guy's got to produce, that guy's got to produce. For me, he's produced pretty well so far. He hasn't won a title game, hasn't even been in the title game. However, man, he's been not – I mean, he you know, last year was a rebuilding year, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But, I mean, I don't know. I really think some of the – this is a big year for him, obviously. No doubt about it. He's got Patterson. He's got Shea Patterson, who is pretty damn good at Ole Miss, should be even better here. What do you think, man? Is Jim Harbaugh overrated, or did that help you put it in perceptive?
I would, even before what you'd said, I was going to say his job in Michigan has probably been a B to a B+. I mean, I think one of the reasons people don't like him or rip him is because he's kind of a weird, quirky dude, and that really doesn't relate to football. But that kind of, you know, when he's telling his kids not to eat chicken because it's like a fearless or a fearful bird of all, you know, he has like sleepovers with recruits playing like video games. Like, he's kind of a weird dude, but I think part of that difference is kind of why kids like playing for him. You know, he's not a Nick Saban kind of all uptight professional kind of guy. He's kind of a weird guy, but maybe that is something that kids buy into. And you don't hear many people transferring from his school or leaving away or ripping him. So, I think aside from all that crap, I think he is a pretty damn good coach. I mean, in the NFL, he achieved the goal of going to the Super Bowl. As you said, he's been literally a fingernail away from one, you know, appearance in a flukish, you know, block. I mean, I think sometimes college football people have, you know, unfair expectations of reality, and that's just how college football rolls. But
yeah,
I would say a strong B+. I mean, I don't think you can give him an A, because I think for your job qualifications of being a Michigan coach, you'd be expected to attend a Final Four. But it's pretty damn
and
close.
Beat Ohio State, and yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and beat Ohio State.
Makes a lot of money.
And, you know,
makes a lot of money. You know, last year, just looking at the stats, they lost their last three, and they lost 24-10 to at that time unbeaten Wisconsin. And they lost 31-20 in a tight game to Ohio State. Kind of a shocker losing to South Carolina 26-19 in that game. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Right now, as we like to really poke fun of, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, Marshall, it's been a while since we've gotten to say that, hasn't it?
Oh, God.
According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Notre Dame Irish are heavy favorites. 68% chance, 68.3 compared to 31.7. So even though it's basically a pick'em game on the books, what's going to happen here, man? This is a big game for both. I mean, yeah, it's non-conference, but like I said, both these teams are trying to turn the corner. It's at Notre Dame, right? Is that the – yeah, it's on NBC. It's at Notre Dame, I'm almost positive. Maybe I'm wrong here. I think it's Notre Dame. It is. It's at Notre Dame. So that's based – so Michigan is – you know, if it wasn't for the home spread, they'd be – if this was neutral – they'd be just a little bit of a favorite. How do you see this thing breaking down?
I think when you start off at the start of the season, I think you have to give an advantage to who's the better coach. I don't even think we have to debate that, so I'd give Michigan a checkbox there. I heard, you know, with college football, like with it becoming more of a popular trendy sport to bet, you know, there's always offshores that make, like, lines for games of the year. I heard that when this game of the year line came out for this game, that it opened up as Notre Dame -7. I heard it basically got pounded down to Michigan -2. So for those like sharps who guys who love to bet before the season starts, when you have basically a touchdown favorite, you become the dog at home. I think that says all I would need to say for my, you know, answers. I'm not a dire Michigan like our man Scott is. So, you know, I don't know, but, I'm going to take Michigan. I think they have the more talented players, probably have a little more of a bigger drive to want to get off to the start because, you know, if they lose this, it's like, oh, crap, here we go again. You know, we're going to have to try to find a way to maybe run the gauntlet in the toughest division in football, which you said, or toughest conference. So maybe there's a little more to play for. I'm picking Michigan. I've obviously never really picked an Notre Dame. That's not really a team I've root for. But, and they got new quarterbacks. The Michigan quarterbacks have been such a joke of late. You watch those games, and you're like, well, God, even I could kind of go out there and do it. That's kind of the mentality you've had. If their offenses have been so despicable, and you've kind of had to pray for pick sixes to score points, now that you've solved that problem, there really shouldn't be a glaring issue for Michigan. Maybe if their defense has a bad game once or twice this whole year, they can score 38 points and win the game 38-36 or something like that. So I'm leaning Michigan. Probably because of what I think in my head and probably because I've never, like, picked a Notre Dame for a game on this show.
And I appreciate that because I hate Notre Dame. So, 46.5 over-under. You going over or you going under?
Jesus, that's low. My God.
I know. That seemed low. That's not the same thing.
That is low.
But it is early, and it is rush.
True.
So they may come out rusty. I'm going under. I'll take Michigan under too.
Yeah.
And I'm going Michigan because of the opening statement. You didn't even have to talk after that as far as me. The opening statement of how you broke that game down, how much it shrunk once the odds came out, that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is enough for me. 100%. Miami, number 8 in the country, against number 25, LSU.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they got I think his name is Joe Burrow. He's a graduate transfer from Ohio State. Didn't see him on the field that I remember. And, you know, they've used some quarterbacks over the years. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, quarterback's been a huge, huge downfall for LSU. You know, ever since they got 21-0'd, in the national championship game, they have been searching and searching and searching.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they had that quarterback in his second year. By the time he actually got there, that was his senior year. But it was pretty good. He got that ACL and ended up, you know, some people thought he had pro potential. Didn't work out. Miami is returning a guy at quarterback, Rozier, who needs to step up a little bit more and be consistent. That was his first year as a full-time starter. They're much deeper at the wide receiver position. Hopefully Miami can keep their number one receiver this year in the game. He was just banged up all last year, and he never quite lived up. You know, it's a guy as a freshman beat Michael Irving's freshman record. So for wide receiver, that's pretty good. Defensively, they should be sound. The depth at defensive tackle could be an issue, no doubt about it. Secondary, they're stacked. We know about the turnover chain. AT&T Cowboy Stadium, basically, like I still call it. There'll be more LSU people in there just because it's closer, but also LSU it's a SEC school. So they're going to be all over the place. Right now, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, 65.7 match predictor, they have Miami winning fairly easy, not easy, but you know, the point spread tells us, what is the point spread? 3.5, and that's kind of a road game. It's neutral site, but we all know it's not completely neutral. What do you think here, man? Miami or Louisiana?
Neither team had a core. Miami had glimpses, but then there were some games where, I mean, they were, again, like Michigan, just dying for points. And that's what cost me at the end of the year with Pitt and White. I shouldn't say with Clemson, because Clemson could have beat anyone pretty much last year. But
they were in a lot of tight games, and they played to the level of their opposition, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and LSU, again, I'm one of the few people that doesn't think Orgeron's a joke of a coach and want to give him a shot, but, man, it seems like even their whole fan base is that way. So I honestly don't have a pick. I mean, these are teams that every year send guys to pros. Every year their defenses are good. Every year their offenses aren't that good. I'm going to pick LSU just because they will probably have more fans there. I mean, this is a flip-a-quarter game to me. Both teams offensively need to prove themselves, and I know that Miami's ranked 8th and LSU's ranked 25th, but I imagine on the field their defenses are both probably pretty similar. Maybe Miami's got a little more talent, but, damn, LSU is always having those DBs or cornerbacks that are going pro. So, flip a quarter, I'm taking LSU just because I think Orgeron's probably maybe a little under pressure. It is hard to break down these big games. Like you said, we haven't seen these teams play since December or January. Yeah. So, hell, who knows? But I'll pick LSU, and I know you're going to pick the Hurricanes. So I guess we'll split the middle on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking the Canes because of the quarterback position. They got more experience. And I think that little play here and there is with these defenses, as you spoke of, and both of them always have good running backs. So, I'm picking Miami, but it's gonna be ugly. I think it's going to be ugly. And I'm going under at 46. I'm going under. I think it'll be an ugly game. I got Florida State beating Virginia Tech at home. They're a 7-point favorite. What do you think of that before we get to the primetime game with Washington and Auburn?
I all I've heard is Virginia Tech is way too young. They're too young. They've lost other people. They don't got enough. Florida State has all the reason in the world to come out pissed off after the year they had last year. They had a joke of the year, their standards. I mean, they got beat to the pulp by Boston College. Their coach left them. The quarterback got hurt. I mean, I think sometimes you win football games due to stuff happening off the field. And I think if you're Florida State players, I mean, you really have a bone to pick with people like, let's kind of get back to our way now. And neither of us are obviously Florida State guys, but proud tradition football team. And I think maybe just a whole new start, a new coach, Francois back. I'm going Florida State win just to kind of rebuild their mojo because they've always been a pretty damn good team. And last year was kind of a laughing stock for their standards. So I'm going FSU.
Francois to get the job done. And one last pick. We'll talk about some other random games, but as far as, breaking it down, number 6, Washington, on the road, basically, at the Georgia Dome. Number 9, Auburn. This is the biggest game, to be honest with you, it's the biggest game, of course, of week 1 on paper. But you could – I don't think it's arguable. We're going to find out. But it seems like the best non-conference matchup until bowl season. It really does. If you look at the winner, the cachet that the winner will have as far as strength of schedule, and you look at what they got to both go through. We've already talked about Auburn. Let's say Washington wins this game. Both teams are actually capable of qualifying for, like, to meet back up in the semifinals or something like that if Auburn lost and then had that run because of their strength or schedule. So, for an opening weekend, you know, you spoke of how opening weekends, the first 4 weeks were just, you know, a steamroll central. And once in a while, there'd be some rivalry games, you know, they'd do the rivalry game stuff, but it wasn't like this. And if we, you know, of course, we got to go to the according to the ESPN Football Power Index, 50.5 for Washington compared to 49.5 for, it's basically a 50-50 matchup on paper. Surprisingly, Marshall, well, Washington does put up points, and so does Auburn. Yeah, I suppose. I was going to say the over-under is 49, but that actually makes more sense. How do you see this one playing out, man? They both have quarterbacks coming back. Obviously, we know the Washington quarterback a little bit better, but dude at Auburn, Stigman or whatever the hell his name is, he was pretty good too. Browning is looking to put it all together. This is what, his third year as a starter, something like that. How do you see this one break it down, man? This is on paper, like we're saying, this is the best matchup of week one, and like I said, arguably maybe the best non-conference matchup of the whole year.
I got kind of mixed signals because I remember last year I heard everyone in America rave about how Brian's going to be a stud, best quarterback in the country, blah, 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 blah. And that turned out to be quite a bit of crap. Not saying the kid's a joke, but he was far from the top pinnacle quarterback. So,
yeah, it seemed like he took a step back.
Yeah, I haven't heard this. Browning, he's a, you know, a true stud. College, that hype disappeared quickly. So I think Auburn's got the advantage of quarterback. They got an advantage because they have a home game for crowd, you know. But to some extent, these top-tier teams, I mean, a neutral site, it's not quite the worst thing in the world. I mean, it helps Auburn, but – and I think overall, but Washington's got a better coach. The one knock – I've always heard about Chizik is like the dude either overthinks himself or doesn't prepare that well. And if you look at Chris Peterson's record, whether Boise or Washington, when that dude has a big game, it's rare he gets out-coached or, like, gets smoked. That doesn't happen much for that man. So, and Washington's got a better secondary. So, I kind of got X's and O's on both sides of the board. I'm going to go Washington just because I think they do have that pressure of if we lose this game, we have a legit chance that we couldn't make it there. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, growing men, you're going to be playing both sides aren't going to be playing hard. But I think there's a little extra motivation for Washington. That just knowing that, hey, guys, we could be a top 14 this year, but if we lose here, then we're going to have to start praying for stuff. And you got a better coach. I'll lean that way. I'll take the Huskies.
And I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to go with – going with Auburn. I'm going with they do have an experienced quarterback that I think will take another step. They always seem to have the talent. And also, there were shades of the best team in the country last year. Shades of it.
Yes.
Right? Shades of it. Spot
very
where
true.
You're like, dude, because remember the last chunk? We said, dude, if they do this, that, and the third. Now, they had to do a lot. But we were looking at him. We kept an eye on him going, dude, I don't know, man. They may, and then they didn't close how they could have. They sure weren't really they lived up to expectations, though, I thought, because not a lot of people were talking about him before the beginning of the year. You know, it was what they were doing where you're like, wow, they took an early loss, but here we go. You know, so I'm going to go with Auburn.
Okay.
And Peterson is probably the better coach, but we're going to see how good a coach when it's week in and week out with him.
True.
Not just 3.5 weeks to plan and do some, you know, switcheroo. There's going to be some switcheroo plays, though. We know that. There's going to be something in there that he throws. But I respect Peterson a whole lot. But, oh boy, at Auburn's a pretty damn good coach himself. Now, he hasn't been head coach as long. So, we'll see. We'll see how that Gus Malzone is his name, right? Malzone. That about wraps it up. Is there anything that we are kind of getting long? We kind of went long early. Is there anything, any, you know, game that stands out to you to say, hey, watch out for this? You know, California, what is it? Actually, let me get you against the spread real quick.
Okay.
Well, on the road, I think North Carolina, this is my upset of the week. And it was tough to pick an upset of the week this week. I mean, a real upset, not just because someone ranked lower. You know, I could say Michigan's an upset because, hey, you know, I mean, it's number 4 and number 12.
Yeah.
I don't do it that way. That's not how I operate. Maybe I'll get desperate midseason and I'll change my tune, but I'm not doing it right now. So I got the Tar Heels, 7-point favorite on the road to beat an improving California team. So that's one of them. Against the spread, my against the spread this week, now the 11th-ranked Michigan State Spartans will definitely beat Utah State. However, it's week one. Some high-profile teams come out a tad flat or rusty. Last year, you know, Utah State, actually a couple years ago, were a pretty solid team. They were a little young, in it, you know, not experienced. Now, I think they'll be relatively competitive, enough to get under the 23.5 spread that Michigan State has the last time I checked. So I got Utah State to sneak under that 23.5. And, you know, Louisville is a massive underdog, 20-some-odd points. You know, it sucks to bet against Alabama, but you're not really betting against them. You're betting that the first half may come out a little weird or something. They're still going to dominate the game. That's my against the spread for the week. Is there anything you want to mention or anything like that before we get out of here?
Do you want to do the crappy game of the week for week one, or you want
to?
Oh,
my God.
Because I got one.
You can tell. It's like I'm ducking it. Yeah, no. That is the one. In the back of my head, I thought, yeah. Let's do that. Crafty
okay.
game of the week.
Well,
golly, I hyped it, and I almost skipped it.
I do think that Texas Tech Ole Miss will be a fun game to watch, and obviously I'm going to cheer for Lane Kiffin because they're playing Oklahoma. That crazy offense of his, I mean, they'll probably get smoked by Oklahoma. But I'll cheer on my man Kiffin and see. I think they're like a 23-point dog, too. So I don't know if I'd bet them, but I would take the over in Oklahoma, Florida Atlantic, because that should be lots of fun flying offenses. Okay, crap pick of the week to wrap up the show. We have a school where I'm really legit not sure where they're from. I think it's New York. I don't know. Old Dominion Monarchs are -5.5. They go on the road to Liberty Flames, who's +5.5. I've heard of Old Dominion. I know that they're a sometimes decent basketball school.
Yeah,
they got kind of a cool logo. Liberty Flames. No, actually, Liberty Flames, that's Illinois. Isn't that near Chicago? I think it's Chicago-ish. Yeah. Monarchs.
This would be a nice little non-conference matchup in college basketball, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This wouldn't be that bad. No. So the
All
Monarchs
right.
are -5. This is a 5 o'clock Central Time game for men like us. And they're on the road. They're traveling. But you've always been a man in these picks and always wants to be favored. That's kind of been your MO over the years with the crappy pick of the week.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not afraid to pick the road team. And by the way,
nope,
San Diego
nope.
State should be better this year. San Diego State, Stanford
oh, yeah.
could be sneaky good. Colorado
sure.
State could be sneaky good. Ole Miss, Texas Tech. Will be. It's not even sneaky. That's going to be good. I wanted to mention that. So, okay, let me go to that game. Blindly checking out the first crafty pick of the week, and, man, did you pick a doozy. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, 51.1% for Old Dominion on the road, 48.9%. Williams Stadium, this is Virginia. Okay, so Liberty's Virginia.
Oh, Christ.
Williams Stadium.
I was wrong twice.
Liberty tickets at Williams Stadium. There's 103 tickets left on Vivid Seats, and they're going for $14 a pop. $14 a pop, so you could tell that's a tough ticket in town to get. Wow. You know, you know where I go. When in doubt, there's no stats to look at. Usually this is the time where I say, okay, well, the offense puts up about 19.9 a game. The defense is giving up 39 a game. This is usually when I break down the garbage stats for this garbage matchup. Don't have the current stats for this year. However, I'm going Old Dominion. The road squad has treated me well. And you said road favorite too, right, didn't you? That's treated me well.
Yes,
is that
yes sir.
General?
Minus five and a half.
Okay, I'm going Old Dominion, and this is not college basketball. And UNC Cal, although I mentioned that in my picks too. Hey, Troy, remember University of Troy battling LSU? They beat them last year. Boise State traveling to Troy, by the way. I wanted to put that in there. But, yeah, I'm going Old
Troy's
Dominion.
Always pesky.
They're crafty.
Right, that is locked in. Locked in pick.
Locked in.
Taking a road favorite. Here we go, baby. Here we go.
Might as well get right to PayPal and put it in. Put the bet in. PayPal. Get it. Go to myboogie.ag. Get that thing in.
I'm sure myboogie.ag is just can't wait for Old Dominion money to flow in on their website. I'm sure that's going to really spin the books around. But hey, that wraps up a
server.
Very
they may not handle the traffic, dude. They may need a new server.
Site might crash. We're breaking the internet, Chris. Holy cow. This wraps up a very, very fun preseason / week zero / week one / live football college podcast. Kind of wraps up eight different things there. But we're watching games now. They've played some games, but we have a good amount of games coming up to watch this weekend. So that's the fun stuff. I can't wait to break down Auburn-Washington week one matchup. That's pretty damn sweet. I didn't mention USC and Missouri, which means they're probably playing no-name teams, which means I should be safe for this first weekend. Chris and I will be back, though. We normally like doing these shows on Mondays or Tuesdays. With me not coaching football, there should be no tough scheduling things unless something goes awry. So, a weekly deal.
We're
going to
aim
call
for Mondays.
In.
We are going to aim
sure.
for Mondays on average. We're going to aim for Mondays real quick. Next week, let's do that segment of the top 20 teams in the BCS area, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be a good way. The top 20 best teams to win. Or maybe a second-place team who is better than others. So we'll have a fun little segment there. We'll get our crappy pick of the weekend. And, yes, it is time for me to go watch Northwestern. I did throw some cash on them. They're up 14, but that means nothing in college football. We're only in the third quarter, so we'll talk some gambling too, as Chris said. Until then, enjoy your holiday weekend. As a teacher, I got 3 days off in a row, and that's a beautiful thing. So Chris and I will be back, maybe even on holiday. We'll see. Maybe we'll get paid extra from, you know, these people that pay us for this beautiful thing or something like that. So enjoy your holiday weekend. Have fun watching college football. Throw some money down on the website Chris mentioned. And that's it. The boys are out. Peace.